Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, which is the true way of God. But this world is so evil. What happens when evil takes over? When evil becomes common? And how does it get that way? Just look at the recent history of America, which is a repeat of the history of any other nation or empire that started out good, that did well, that was mighty, that was powerful, and then they had so much that they gave themselves over to leisure and pleasure, and Satan comes in. And then what happens when people become dedicated to evil? Well, here in the Minor Prophet of Micah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Woe! That means trouble and difficulty and anxiety and problems. Woe to those who plot wickedness. And that's what they're plotting against your children today, as we pointed out last time. And it is an unceasing, unrelenting evil that comes in the guise of a benefit and fun and games. Well, to those who plot wickedness and prepare evil on their beds, when the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. Quite a thing, isn't it? How are you going to get along in such a world as that? Because that's what's here today. The only way is you turn to God and you turn to His Word and you begin, especially if you are new, begin in the book of Proverbs. Because this is crystal clear, easy to understand what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, what is righteousness, what is wickedness, and what you have to do to avoid it and get rid of it. And if you're involved in it, you need deep, deep repentance and turning to God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. Because you are a captive of Satan the devil. And the whole world has been led astray by all the lies. And they sound so good. One of the greatest hoaxes, besides getting rid of the Sabbath, is the holy days of this world. All of them under the guise of a benefit. It's fun. Oh, we'll do good things. Oh, we'll bring the family together. Oh, yes, it's for the children. Oh, but we have so much fun with the family and we get together. And oh, it's so good with the Christmas tree. And all the children are so excited. But all of them are what? Based upon lies and demonism and Satanism, beginning with Halloween.
You know, I read the Bible a lot. You know, this is crazy. We celebrate holidays, and you know what I just found out to us recently? There's so many holidays we celebrate here in this country that have nothing to do with the Bible at all. Real famous holidays, like Christmas. It's nowhere it says celebrate my birthday, says Jesus. It's just, it's a pagan holiday that the Romans invented that we just do. But everywhere you go, I've seen this so many times. You see a big nativity scene, and there's baby Jesus, the manger, sheep, shepherd, wise men, Mary, Joseph, Santa Claus right in the middle. Like, who's that? Mary's Lamaze coach? Santa Claus has nothing to do with anything. Neither does the Easter Bunny. Easter is another pagan holiday that's not in the Bible. Every Easter, you don't hear anything about Jesus on the cross. All you hear is about the Easter Bunny. Easter Bunny this, Easter Bunny that. Why is the Christian religion the only one in the world that needs a mascot to sell their stuff? Halloween's another big holiday, satanic holiday. Nobody's bothered by that for some reason. You know, fun for the kiddies. I mean, when I was going to church, they always told me, you know, Satan's the most evil one. He's the one you got to watch out for. Watch out for Satan. And then once a year, the whole country goes, hey, let's party with this guy. It's ridiculous.
Why does it have to be under the auspices of a fake Jesus? He was never born anywhere near December 25th. And there was not a Christmas tree there. And when the wise men came, they didn't come to where there was a manger in a barn. They were in a house. Because they stayed in Jerusalem 40 days to complete everything necessary that the law of God said and the presentation of Jesus at the temple. And that wasn't in the winter time.
In the Norse country, this winter celebration was known as Yule. Around December 21st, the winter solstice, fathers and sons dragged evergreens indoors as reminders of life and set logs on fire as a promise of good fortune. Ancient Rome had its own December festivals. 1 week before the winter solstice, Romans began celebrating Saturnalia, an orgy of food and drink in honor of Saturn, the god of agriculture. Some Romans, particularly soldiers and government officials, also worshipped Mithra, the sun god. It is believed that to this small but powerful sect, the birthday of Mithra, December 25th, was the holiest day of the year. By the first century AD, pagan traditions were being challenged as Christianity took hold throughout the empire. But Christ's birth date remained a mystery, since the Bible doesn't mention exactly when he was born. Since pagan Rome already celebrated the birth of Mithra on December 25th, it is theorized the church adopted the date as the birth of the Christ child. In the 4th century, the church made it official, declaring December 25th as the feast day of the Nativity. The church knew it could not outlaw the pagan traditions of Christmas, so it came to accept them. The evergreens traditionally brought indoors were decorated with apples, symbolizing the Garden of Eden. These apples would eventually become Christmas ornaments. 1,500 years later in America, a seminary professor named Clement Clark Moore reimagined the legend of St. Nicholas. In 1822, Moore wrote a poem called The Night Before Christmas about a good-natured saint named Santa Claus who was pulled by a group of reindeer and came down the chimney on Christmas Eve. Like St. Nicholas, Santa Claus spread good cheer and gave gifts to children. Less clear was exactly what this Santa Claus looked like. Then in 1863, Thomas Nast, a cartoonist for Harper's Weekly, settled the matter once and for all with his version of the Christmas saint. Nast's Santa was rotund and jolly, with a full white beard and a sack full of toys. An American icon was born.
The fall holy days of God were the ones that took place at that time. Feast of Trumpets, that's when Jesus was born. Day of Atonement, that's when God passed over all the sins of the children of Israel. Feast of Tabernacles, which is a prophetic feast for the coming of Christ and the kingdom of God on this earth. Now those are real, and those are going to happen. But the fairy tale and lies of Satan the devil of Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all of that under the guise of Jesus, as we saw last time, that is a lie. But everyone thinks it's a benefit. So God says here, Proverbs 3 and verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes, which means you need to know the laws of God, the commandments of God, the words of God, so that you don't get lifted up in your vanity and pride and self-exaltation and intellectual vanity and think that you are something and think that you know how to run your life. The truth is, without God, people cannot run their lives properly because God made us to need God and His Spirit. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now that means look at your life. What evil do you have in your life? And where does it come as natural as the rising and setting of the sun? Through the fake things of Satan, the devil. Now, Satan is always going to make people believe that evil is good and good is evil. But as we covered last time, all the laws of God, beginning with the Ten Commandments, are based on love. And love is based upon obeying God. And God has sent His Bible and His Word because He wants you to obey His voice. And you can say, well, how can I obey His voice? Well, very simple. God has it all written down. He has it all written down and in many languages. And it's the greatest book in the world and the history of the world. And there are more Bibles today than ever before. Quite a thing, isn't it? Huh? And yet, there's more evil than ever before, and more neglect of the Bible than ever before, and more lies about the Bible than ever before. Now let's come to Proverbs 13, verse 19. Now we're going to see the contrast, good versus evil, evil versus good, righteousness versus wickedness. Verse 19, Proverbs 13. The desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn from evil. They want evil. And more evil, and more evil, and more evil cannot be more epitomized than the taking of drugs. You need more, and more, and more, and more, until you kill yourself. Verse 5, the righteous hates lying. Question, how many lies do you believe? Now, how are you going to know what is true and what are lies? That's why you have the Bible. The Word of God is true. So you measure everything that you do by the Word of God, and you can begin with the Ten Commandments. But the wicked one is loathsome and comes to shame. And that's what we're seeing in the world today. It is terrible, the things that are going on. 70,000 people died of drug overdoses. That's to say nothing of murder. That's to say nothing of lives cut short because they didn't live their lives properly. That's to say nothing of the wretchedness and suffering and the mental disease and the drug addiction that we find on the streets of the so-called great cities of America. Baltimore, the great drug city of America. New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and wherever there are drugs and the drugs rule that area, it is satanic. It is there because of Satan the devil. Verse 13, whoever, means anyone, man, woman, child, whoever despises the word, that is the word of God, shall be destroyed. Now some sooner, some later. But whenever you go against God, whenever you go against His commandments, whenever you drink in of all the things of Satan, the devil, and the demons that are around, you're going to be destroyed. But he who fears the commandment shall be rewarded. Now you look at those Ten Commandments, see? Now a lot of people are practicing Christmas today. And one of the commandments is, you shall not bear false witness, right? Isn't Christmas based upon lies? Every bit of it. Everything about it. Now here's a little sidebar. Why a Christmas tree? Think on that. Why a Christmas tree? Do you know what it really celebrates? Has nothing to do with Christ. Like I got a magazine here a couple of weeks ago. It says, Christmas begins with Christ. No, it doesn't. He had nothing to do with what is called Christmas. What is the Christmas tree? It is a celebration of the eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Think on that. And the intertwining that goes around the tree to the top and the star on the top. Satan, the devil. Oh, but it's so much fun. And it smells so good to have the tree there. And the children are so excited when they get their gifts. Is not the world being deceived actively by Satan, the devil, in all of these things and many others? Christmas is just one. Verse 21. Evil pursues sinners. That's exactly what's happening in our society today because we have rejected God and His Word and His commandments and His truth. See, this is why we have church at home, because you're not going to go to any church in this world and find but just a little bit of truth. Now, you go to our other website, truthofgod.org. And there we have lots and lots and lots, hundreds and hundreds of messages of truth and Bible knowledge and understanding right there at the tip of your finger to download and learn and to grow and understand in the Word of God and truth. That's why we have it. And that's such a magnificent thing and a good use of the technology that we have today. And besides that, look at all of the evil uses that are there. How you can go online, learn how to make a bomb, learn how to be a terrorist, learn how to be a thief, learn how to be a harlot, learn how to be a whoremonger, learn how to steal, lie, cheat, all of this sort of thing. But the good news is the truth is there as well. So go to our website, truthofgod.org, and you need to get our Bible, the Holy Bible, in its original order. Easy to understand. And that will help you. You need to get your mind into the Word of God. And that's why we have Church at Home to get you started. Because that's where you do it at home. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. Now, how do we do this? Well, let's come to the minor prophet of Amos and see what God says. Because this is the cry that goes out from God today. God wants you and your family and whoever you know to come back to Him. Come out of the evil that you are in. But you've got to do it God's way. Amos 5 and verse 1. Hear this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. That's this nation right now. She shall rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land. There is none to raise her up. That's a terrible situation to be, but those days are coming. And you need to avoid all of that by coming to God now. Don't wait until it's too late. Verse 4 tells us how. Thus says the Lord to the house of Israel. You put your name there. What is your name? Seek me, the Lord God, your creator, your maker, your lawgiver, the one who gives you everything that you have and sustains your life. Seek me and you shall live. Do not seek Bethel nor enter into Gilgal. nor pass to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall go into exile and Bethel shall come to nothing. That is, going the way of the world. Those were the key cities of going the way of the world back then with Israel. What are the ways it is now today? New York City and Hollywood. And then you have the religious centers on top of that teaching another Jesus, teaching another gospel. Verse 6, seek the Lord and you shall live. Verse 8, seek him who created Pleiades and Orion, who turned the deep darkness into the morning, and him who darkened the day into night. Seek him who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Now that's what you're to do. You're to turn from the things that you have been doing which are evil and come to which is good. Let's look at what happens when children become possessed. Now there are a lot of children who are possessed because they're being taught, as we saw on the last segment, to seek out demons. Oh, there are good, gentle demons. Let's come to Mark, the 9th chapter, and let's see what happens to children who become rebellious and unmanageable. How does that come about with such hatred and vitriol that the parents don't know what to do or know how to handle them, huh? Mark 9, verse 14. And after returning to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around him, and the scribes were disputing with them, and all the people who saw him ran to him at once in great amazement and saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you disputing with them? Then one from the multitude said, Master, I brought my son who has a dumb spirit or demon to you. And wherever it seizes him, it dashes him down. And he foams and gnashes his teeth and withers away. And I spoke to your disciples in order that he might cast it out, but they did not have the power. And he answered him, saying, O faithless generation! And if that generation was faithless when Jesus came to the earth, think about this generation. Question, how faithful are you to the word of God, which is the spoken word of his voice? Here we're reading the words of Jesus, who was the Lord God of the Old Testament, before he came as the Son of God in the flesh. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when the Spirit saw him, it immediately threw him into convulsions. And he fell on the ground and began rolling about and foaming at the mouth. And he asked the Father, how long a time has this demon be with him? And he said, from childhood. What were they teaching him? Remember, too many of the people were worshiping the things of Satan in the guise of false gods and charms. And those little charms are demonic calling cards. Did you know that? For it often throws him both into fire and into the water that it might destroy him. And that's the full mission of Satan the devil, to destroy. God wants you to live. God wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth of eternal life. Not just a religion of restrictions, but a religion of love and power and the true Christ and the true Father, that you may have eternal life and live forever. That's what God wants. But the world is too much like this poor little boy. So the Father continues, but if you have the power to do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, you must believe God. You must believe Jesus Christ. You must believe the words because they are true, and God cannot and will not ever lie. Satan, the devil, is the false father, and he's the father of lies, and of cheating, and of stealing, and conniving, and of death, and agony, and sorrow in between. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. Now notice the Father's attitude. He understood where he was. He knew what the problem was. And the father of the little child cried out at once, saying with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Then Jesus, seeing that the multitude was running together, rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him, and you are not allowed to go into him any more. And after crying out and throwing him into a severe convulsion, it came out, and he became as dead. So much that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Father got him back whole. Now, there are other accounts of demon possession in the New Testament as well. And there's a lot of this in the world that people do not know anything about. Now, you need our book. Lord, what should I do? You need to come to God in repentance and tears, and on your knees before God, crying out to him to help lead you in the way you need to go. Now, that's going to require quite a few changes in your life indeed, but those will all in the long run be for good if you come to God the way that God says and you confess your sins. That's what this book, Lord, What Should I Do?, does. It helps you with that. And we just have brand new, just coming off the press, a new series, Bible for Kids. Number one, creation. Bible for Kids. Number two, what went wrong in the Garden of Eden? Bible for Kids. Number three, Cain and Abel. Those are essential for you to have for your children. Now, we will send these to you at no cost. We have them online. You can download them. Or you can write us, and we will send you the hard copy of it. And you need to put in the resources that are necessary for you to come to God. You need the Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order. It's not just a Bible. It has commentary. How did we get the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? When was it written? And did you know there are only 40 people that wrote the Bible, Old and New Testament? How do we get the New Testament? Why is it where it is? How does it agree with the Old Testament? And then we have appendices and chronologies. It's a complete study Bible for you to know the Word of God and to help you in your life find God and find Christ and find the truth, which you can only do in your home. So once again, this is Fred Kolder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, so long, everyone.